Welcome to SCOTUSCast, and thanks for tuning in. On Thursday, June 25th, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Melendez-Diaz v. Massachusetts. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether crime lab reports constitute the kind of testimonial evidence which implicates the Sixth Amendment's protection of the accused's right, quote, to be confronted with the witnesses against him. In a 5-4 decision delivered by Justice Scalia, the court held that the admission of crime lab reports at trial as prima facie evidence of what they assert violates the Sixth Amendment's Confrontation Clause, reversing the Appeals Court of Massachusetts decision below. To discuss the decision, we welcome Stradling, Yaka, Carlson, and Routh attorney John Hsu. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Hsu.
Thanks, Andrew, and welcome, folks, to SCOTUSCast, the cocaine or just baking soda edition. The Melendez-Diaz case furthers the jurisprudence of Crawford v. Washington, a 2004 case where the court unanimously ruled that the Sixth Amendment's Confrontation Clause forbids the use of a prosecution witness's pretrial statements at trial unless either those statements or the witness himself could be cross-examined. Crawford, however, did not define the term testimonial statement. Melendez-Diaz tested whether a crime lab report was considered a testimonial statement. Interestingly, Justice Scalia wrote both the Crawford and Melendez-Diaz opinions, and Stanford Law Professor Jeffrey Fisher represented both Mr. Crawford and Mr. Melendez-Diaz. Before we get too far into the law, let's talk about the important facts of the case. In 2001, the Boston police arrested Mr. Luis Melendez-Diaz in a Kmart store parking lot. He was a passenger in a car belonging to a Kmart employee on whom the police found clear plastic bags containing a white powdery substance. The police also found more such bags in the police cruiser in which Melendez-Diaz was transported to the police station. The police submitted the bags for chemical analysis. Massachusetts charged Melendez-Diaz with distribution and drug trafficking of cocaine in an amount between 14 to 28 grams, a felony punishable by not less than 3 years imprisonment under the Massachusetts Controlled Substances Act. The prosecution submitted 3 notarized certificates of analysis from the crime lab, which showed that the white powdery substance was cocaine. The jury convicted Melendez-Diaz. He appealed, claiming that the crime lab analysis was testimonial under Crawford and that he should have had the opportunity to cross-examine the crime lab technician. The Massachusetts Appeals Court and the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court both rejected Melendez-Diaz's appeals, relying on Commonwealth v. Verde, a post-Crawford case where the Supreme Judicial Court held that a crime lab report was, quote, akin to a business record, and the Confrontation Clause is not implicated by this type of evidence, unquote. The U.S. Supreme Court granted certiorari on March 17, 2008. The court heard oral argument on November 10, 2008, and issued its opinion on June 25, 2009. It perhaps was not a surprise that the court granted review. The laws regarding the admission of crime lab evidence vary from state to state. Lab analysts here in California, for example, are summoned to testify with some regularity. Think of the lab analysts in the O.J. Simpson criminal trial, and you probably have seen them on television. Justice Scalia wrote the majority opinion with Justices Stevens, Souter, Thomas, and Ginsburg joining. Justice Thomas wrote a separate concurrence to emphasize his belief that the Confrontation Clause applies only to, quote, formalized testimonial materials, unquote. Justice Kennedy dissented, with Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Breyer and Alito joining. The court noted that the crime lab's certificates of analysis were, in essence, sworn affidavits of an accusatory nature because they were used to prove an essential element of the crime, that is, the powdery substance was actually cocaine. This jurisprudence reaches all the way back to United States v. Kirby, an 1899 case. The court also noted that evidence which meets the, quote, present sense impression, unquote, exception to the hearsay rule might still violate the Confrontation Clause. The court cited a study showing that certain forensic analysts falsely recorded results of tests that they never performed because of the high volume of demands, and that such falsified tests contributed to improper convictions. The court noted that an opportunity for cross-examination would give the forensic witness the opportunity to recant a previously falsified report or perhaps commit perjury. The court rejected the concepts that forensic lab reports are akin to either authenticated copies or business records. The court noted that a crime lab technician or forensic analyst creates a document for the purposes of proving guilt at trial, whereas a certificate authenticating official records certifies only the authenticity of a copy of a previously existing document and that documents prepared in the ordinary course of business are not normally created for the purpose of proving guilt or liability at trial. The court rejected the Commonwealth's argument that Melendez-Diaz could have called the forensic analyst if he had wanted to, because such an approach would improperly shift the burden of producing an adverse witness to the defense instead of the prosecution. The court, however, noted that notice and demand statutes already found in some states satisfy the Confrontation Clause because, under those types of statutes, the prosecution must provide a criminal defendant with sufficient notice that the prosecution intends to submit an analyst report at trial and give the defendant sufficient time to object to those reports absent the analyst's appearance at trial. And so, folks, that's the wrap-up of Melendez-Diaz versus Massachusetts. Thanks very much for tuning in. We hope that you've enjoyed today's podcast and look forward to having you join us for more exciting U.S. Supreme Court analysis. I'm John Hsu, signing off for now. See you again soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.